We'll be in Daniel chapter 10. We went through about three or four verses, and I'm going to start in the first verse here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Almighty Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord God, for this Bible study, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, you give us the knowledge to understand as you would want us to, Lord. But most of all, Lord, give us a loving heart, Lord, where we would obey thy word. Lord, so thankful for each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and what they do, Lord, to help each other, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that this love would continue with each other, Lord, as you have loved us, Lord. Lord, so thankful for this week, Lord, you gave us life in itself, Lord. So thankful for the many blessings you passed upon us through this week. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Chapter 10, starting at verse 1, in Daniel. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing got revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the things was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the things and had understanding of the vision. We know Cyrus has been when he talked about the lamb and the little horn, that was the Persian army, and he led the Persian army against the Median army and conquered them. And that's who Cyrus was. He was the king of the Persian army. So in his third year, Daniel's saying, had he seen this vision, understanding. He got the understanding of this vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, what this mourning means, it means he was fasting and praying here. That's what he was doing. He ate no food. He didn't anoint himself or anything. It's in verse 3. I ate no pheasants, bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is telling us that he was fasting. And where he said he didn't anoint himself, that means he didn't wash his hair or his face. That's what the anointing there meant. So he neither cleaned himself up or ate any food, more or less, any pheasant bread, for 3 whole weeks. And in the 4th and 28th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekah. So in his 4th week and 28th day of the first month, he was standing by the side of the river Hiddekah. This Hiddekah River is mentioned in the Bible, and there's 4 rivers mentioned in the Bible, hid in the Euphrates River. This Hiddekah River, it runs into the Euphrates River. It runs through Syria, Iran, and Turkey. This river that he was standing beside of. And it's mentioned in the book of Revelation too, this river is. That he did get it. He was standing beside of it. And then I lift up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upas. This Upas is the fine gold. It's the finest gold that you can get. And, you know, I could see him standing at the river and lift up his eyes and see this, that this certain man, it's believed as it was Gabriel. Most Bible scholars think this is Gabriel he was looking at. And this Upas is a very, very precious stone. It's gold is what it is. Does anyone have anything?
This would be a very unusual sight. to be able to see somebody dressed in. It doesn't say white linen, but you get the impression that the linen is white. Somebody dressed in white and gold, and you know, their face shines. It says it looks like lightning. Well, that would be really, really bright. That would be something very unusual to be seen at this point in time.
But do you think that white means he was pure?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes, that, yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
But to see something like this, you know, coming, you know, it would kind of scary and stuff, and it did some of them.
Revelation 1:13, it has some of the symbolism there. Revelation speaks about very similar, same thing. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in the garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like wax, and it refined in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. Go to Revelation chapter 1, 13 through 15.
Does anybody else have anything? His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamp afar, and his arms and his feet like in color, a polished brass, and the voice of words like the voice of a multitude. Now, when he talked, it sounded like there's more than one talking. You know, that beryl, it's a precious stone. And the high priest, when they put their armor on, they had a beryl on it, is my understanding. So it's a very, very precious stone. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quake fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Now Daniel says he's standing alone, and he saw the vision. He was standing with other people, but he alone saw the vision. These other people were standing with him. Didn't see it. And when this great quake come, and they all run and hid because they was afraid. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remaineth no strength in me, for my comingness was turned into corruption, and I retained strength. I mean, these people left, and he was standing there when this great vision came into him, and strength, and his strength was all taken out of him. And that comingness means anger. Was turned into corruption, and I retain no strength. Yet I hear the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. You know, we study this, and a lot of this is going over the same things we'd study when he was laying down, and the angel come and helped him up. And we got to realize this is the interpretation that Gabriel has given him of his dream.
I think of that strength, David, and how that happened, an event like that. You think back with us, medical events, and you're aware of this, I'm sure, but a serious operation, and it kept you out for a few hours, and you wake up after that, or it's sometimes it's been the next day. And you're so weak you can't walk after that. It's just going to start from scratch.
Yes.
And I think an event like this, I think it affected that way. Just no strength where you can't really walk.
It takes, you know, they say up to a year, and sometimes I don't think you ever get it back. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and up on the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand thy words that I spoke unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken the words unto me, I stood trembling. This angel was sent to explain his dream to him and help him to strengthen him. You know, when Jesus, when he had, it was tested for 40 days, they sent angels to strengthen him. And that's what this angel is coming also to strengthen him, I believe. Does anyone have anything? Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy work. Now, this angel is telling him, from the first time you prayed, God heard you. And now he has come. He is answering Daniel's prayer. You know, he didn't send him right away, did he? So when we pray, shouldn't we also wait up on the Lord, as Daniel did? That's what we should. That don't mean God, because it don't happen right then, don't mean God ain't going to answer it. You know, it shows me, it teaches me, and we've got to have patience with the Lord when we pray and keep our faith believing that it will happen, and it will happen. You know, Daniel probably thought, you know, am I ever going to understand this when he prayed? And he prayed for God to give him the understanding, and he sent this angel to give him the understanding, but he didn't give it to him right away. He made him wait.
That's a good example, Dave, what we were talking about with this United Providence. What are five answers God can give us for our prayers? One of them is wait a while.
Yep.
And this is an example of that.
We want things to happen right then, don't we? We want to see it right then. I mean, and I'm that way. I definitely need more patience. You know, and God, wouldn't you like for God to tell us we are greatly beloved? I'm telling you right now, God loves his children just like he loves Daniel. He is telling every one of his kids today, his children, that he loves them. You know, and he loves them deeply. And he's willing to do, you know, if we just obey him for us. Then said he unto them, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy works. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me in 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, and I remained with the king of Persia. And he's saying here, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, meaning the ruler, withstood him, meaning kept him there for 21 and 20 days. But lo, Michael came to me, and the chief prince came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. I mean, he remained there with Cyrus. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became numb. When he had told him, he set his face towards the ground, and he became nine. And behold, one like the similitude of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrow are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Now when he came, he touched his lip, and he opened his mouth, and he said unto him, O Lord, thy vision, my sorrow are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. You know, he's telling us that he lost all of his strength there. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for one, as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. This was Michael. And the angels, what does the angels look like? They look like ordinary men. You know, if somebody comes to your door today, you don't know if it could be an angel, really. It could be someone God sent. You know, in James, we talked about there'd be an angel come and knock and tell you he's hungry and thirsty and see if you feed him. And we should feed them.
This Michael is mentioned in Jude 1, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring himself against him a defiling accusation, but said, the Lord rebukes you, that these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know, naturally, they're like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So that was Michael bringing the news to that. They're saying they're the same one that we're talking about, Michael the archangel.
You know, in that verse 17, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Sound like he just passed out, because he had no breath.
In Zarah commentary day, he says that Daniel was exhausted by the vision. You know, if we saw all this vision, it would probably do something to us.
Yeah, he worried about it. He worried about the Jewish people and what's going to happen to them. He did.
That's kind of, you think about what that's like, a shorter breath. You can't get your breath. That's true.
I know how. Somebody can't breathe. I'm telling you, it's scary. You know, and that often reminds me of Betty Starling. It does. And I just know a little bit what she went through. Not a whole lot, because she went through a lot worse than I did. And that woman come every day. She came to church every time it was open. A great person. Then there came again and touched me like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, ye. Be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now God had sent this angel, Michael, to strengthen Daniel, to give him strength, just like he sent angels into Jesus, like I said. when he was in, for 40 days, he was tried.
In chapter 19, Lot, I mean, things are going really bad in Sodom, worse than they were to start with. And two angels show up at Lot's door, and they must look ordinary to the average person who is in Sodom, because they asked and says, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came in here tonight?" So to the angels who came, looked like ordinary men to the population there. And like, okay. But we know that they were angels. And so for Daniel, looks like an ordinary man, but we understand that there's an angel, the angel Michael, to know that the angels themselves can appear to us any particular way they choose is kind of that way we don't treat them differently. They're only made slightly above us, as we're told. Man is only made slightly below the angels. Okay, what would make a difference? What would make that difference? Not much. And so, but if we understand that they're angels, or maybe we're not even supposed to know.
Why did God make them look like man?
It's a good question.
So we'd treat them all the same.
Yeah.
If we know there's an angel, wouldn't you treat him different?
Probably.
I'm sure we would. And, we'd give him the finest. So, even if it ain't an angel and somebody comes and they're hungry, shouldn't we give him the finest we have?
But that brings us to the truth. Do we go by truth or do we go by imagination? If you look at all the drawings and everything of an angel, what do? They put wings on them and all kinds of things. The men's imagination.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever see a man with wings? That tells them that, angels don't have wings. Michael and Gabriel was God's two favorite angels. I think he knew them a lot.
You wonder where they got that. I was thinking maybe it's because angels appear and then they disappear. Where did they go? How did they transport from one place to another? We don't know that. Maybe that's part of the imagination. That's what we have to be careful of, making imagination truth. It isn't.
Well, God can make them appear probably anywhere he wants them.
I've met a few people who thought they could fly. Not sure that was a good idea.
That sounds dangerous.
Oh, I'm afraid it did. Yeah. It did.
There's a couple other. In Acts, when Cornelius was hunting, wanted to find the truth, an angel, the Lord sent him an angel to send Peter to him. And also, when Peter was in prison, the angel of the Lord came and set him out. Just different instances.
I'm sure God has used each and every one of us some way, somehow. He'll put us in a spot where we can help others. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be willing to be able to reach out and help others. Because we all can get to heaven if we stick together with the Word of God and be one family. I think it'd be hard to just go to heaven by yourself. I don't think I could make it without you people.
That's something I think we have to be aware of, and it's not easy to do. How many times do you think you walk away from something, I should have done this? You've just been aware at the time of the good you could have done there, and you missed it.
A lot of times you won't. People ask you something, it don't come to you till you get away and think about it, and then you said, man, I should have known that. I often wonder, well, how dumb can I be? Verse 29. And then he said, knoweth that wherefore if I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now he is talking about the Persia here, and he's talking about the Grecian army, which was led by Alexander the Great. And what did Alexander the Great do? It whipped the Persian army that we have studied. They won't have anything. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures and of true. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. We know that all of the scriptures are the truth. But Michael is come to strengthen him and show him that everything is going to be okay. One thing about Daniel, he seeked the truth. He did, and when he wouldn't bow down to the golden image and pray and stuff, and he went to his window and prayed, he showed who he worshiped. Do we show who we worship? We should.
It's right back to those two words, faith and obedience.
Yep. Also, I, in the first year of Darius, the Medes, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength and through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realms of Grecia. This is talking about Alexander the Great, when he whipped the Persian army and he took it over, there was four kingdom comes out. In other words, there's four kings come out of it. And he's talking about them. One shall come out of it was Antioch. And he was a wicked king. And he's the one that went into Judah and Jerusalem and took the sacrifices out of the church, the temple. That's what he... Does anyone have anything on that? Here he tells us, and a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. This is at Antioch. This is the king that he's talking about here. And he would do according to his will. In other words, he will go in, and his purpose was to go into Jerusalem, Judah, and take the sacrifices out. Why did God allow this to happen? So the people would straighten up because of their sins.
This gives us another place in the Bible where we get run into those people that will tell you the Bible is just another book. This was written hundreds of years before he ever did these things.
I think it was 125 years later some of it happened. Now, not all of it. I'm sure some of it had to happen gradually, but it was up to 125 years.
Yeah, the time it would take place to these four kings and then Alexander comes along, it took some time to be able to prophesy that and then it come true. That's how we know whether a prophecy is true or not, whether it came true.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how one king dies, and usually his son takes over. But I don't think Alexander the Great had any kids. Usually the kids takes over. And so they divided it into four. But that's what God's intention was.
Yeah, a lot of times you hear about some of those ancient kings that take and force somebody to try to take over after them. They go in and get all the ancestors and round them up and what they do to them.
Kill them all, yeah. Even they didn't have no part in it. Stuff, but still, some of them probably did, but some of them didn't. But they still paid the prices, you know, of the one, you know, their family member.
And it's good. It's right back into that word providence all again. God's worked in the South. He used Alexander the Great to do the things that he wanted done in history at that time.
You know, we go back to the book of Esther. That's what they did, you know. They wanted to kill the one, and he ended up dying on the halo that he built. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not to his prosperity, not according to his dominance, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others besides those. Like I said, these 14 kingdoms, from one, they had four kingdoms, and took over. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominance. His dominance shall be great dominance. I mean, he shall be have great praise. This guy did. This Antioch. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north and make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arms, neither shall he stand, nor his arms, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that gave her, and he that strengthened her in those times. At the end of the year, they shall all come together, and the king of the daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north, means they combined, but she shall not retain the power of the arms, neither shall he stand. I mean, they, even though they come together, they will be destroyed. Does anyone have anything? Well, I think we'll close there.